Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
In Israel, Yom HaZikaron is unlike anywhere else in the world. The country pauses, sirens sound, people stand still. The entire nation mourns together. It is a day where personal loss, national identity are intertwined. Within the mourning, there's a visible sense of unity, of patriotism. But what does it actually feel like on the ground? How do Israelis balance grief with that strong sense of national identity? Joining us now is Lital Shochet-Cherto, expert in diplomacy, former IDF spokesperson. Lital, a very, very good morning to you. Thank you for being with us today. How would you describe the atmosphere in Israel this morning?
So good morning, and thank you for having me. You gave a very good description of some of the sensitivities of this very special day. And really, I think this year, this Yom HaZikaron, this Memorial Day, it does feel different this time. Mm. You know, it's the first time since October 7th that we are marking this day without the shadow, the pain, the struggle of having hostages remaining in Gaza. Mm. And while there's a sense of relief, a great relief, I would say, it has also opened a floodgate of grief. You know, for many, many months, the collective mourning, not only the personal one, was on hold in a sense, as so many fought for the return of the hostages. And now the delayed pain is suddenly rising to surface. And I think it's demanding our full attention now. You know, this past year has tested Israel's resilience like I think never before. Mm, mm. And we faced this kind of direct confrontation with Iran twice only in this year, you know, last June. And now we only, you know, our schools reopened less than 2 weeks ago. And immediately our children, you know, got into this time where we call them the national holidays. We have Yom HaZikaron LaShoah and then now Yom HaZikaron and Independence Day. So I think, you know, there's each of these fronts that we fought on during these times claimed the lives of our finest, both men and women. And it has expanded the circle, not only of bereavement, but, you know, it's almost reached to every house and every home in Israel.
You know, I was saying to listeners yesterday that when we were talking about the lead up to Yom HaZikaron, that this year the Yom HaShoah felt different to me. It has for the last couple of years, but this year even more so. Maybe it's because of the rise of anti-Semitism to the extent that it has risen. But it's almost as though the decades since the Holocaust were bridged, and I felt closer to that period of time. To a great extent, there seems to be a similar feeling around Yom HaZikaron, bridging of geography, of a nation. As you've mentioned, maybe it's because it has reached so many more people. But why do you think that is, that there seems to be such a strong connection, a personal connection, to these days?
I think, you're right, you know, the cost of Israel's security, of the Jewish people's security, has never felt more tangible, painful and personal on the once, you know, aspect, because it's reaching more homes, as we said. But I think that, you know, bereavement or even grief, it's not a single note. I think it's, on the one hand, a spectrum of emotions. It's a deep ache and loss, but it's also like the burning sting of anger and, in a way, a quiet moments of introspection, but also loud and public cry for justice, in a way. I think justice as Israelis and justice as Jews all around the world, that we want a sense of belongingness, but also a sense of security and freedom. And I think this day or these days hold all of these conflicting feelings all at once. And I was in a session yesterday and we spoke about the difference between loud grief and quiet grief. And we talked about how sometimes quiet grief, the one that doesn't necessarily come out, you know, cries louder. In a sense. And we found ourselves in this very profound paradox. And I think maybe that is something that is very, very loud in Israel. But I think also in different Jewish communities, that the, on the one hand, you know, we see on the tactical level, our soldiers, our pilot, our intelligence units achieving extraordinary achievements. When we look at the amount of fronts that we're facing, all these different things together. And but on a civil level, on a national level, there's a significant crisis of trust. The fact, at least in Israel, that an official state inquiry hasn't taken act yet, an ongoing debate about military service. On the one hand, we are so proud of our soldiers, but we have many different groups within our society, within our nation, that do not share the sense of service together. And it's creating deep tears. It's harming our social fabric. And it creates this deep rift, not just between the people and the leadership, but unfortunately also within segments of the nation itself.
So would you say that the what I've always found it remarkable that people experiencing the level of pain that they are experiencing, especially at a time like Yom HaZikaron, parents who have lost children, wives who have lost husbands, husbands lost wives, etc. I'm always astounded at the fact that there is pain, but no anger or very little anger directed towards government, and obviously it's there. It has to be there because that's natural. Would you say that if Israel doesn't deal with the inquiry into October 7th objectively and properly, and it doesn't deal with the fragmentation around army service, that there is a danger in future years that that will bubble to the surface?
Well, I would maybe even come and say that to say that the anger isn't there or that it hasn't found maybe a public space wouldn't be true. In Israel, it has been bubbling for a few years now.
Right.
But I think that this year, the transition also from Yom HaZikaron to Yom HaTzma'ut, you know, that basic understanding that we're this dependence, that we're here, we have our independence because of the people who lost their lives. And we, as you mentioned, we bow our heads and we honor them and their sacrifice. I think that this year the transition is harder, and families across, you know, the country, the nation as a whole, we're searching maybe for a different meaning this year. And there is a profound, even aching need to know that the sacrifice of our loved ones wasn't in vain. And we owe it to them in a sense. And I think you're talking about bubbling feeling, emotional, national feelings about service. I think that for many in Israel, we feel as if we owe it to them, to the ones who lost their lives, not just to remember how they died or who they were, but to ensure that the country they fought for is worthy of the bravery and of their sacrifice. And, you know, we move from the depths of the grief to the highest of celebrations to Yom HaTzmaut, but we do so with a heavy heart. And we are carrying, in a sense, this responsibility to rebuild the trust and the unity that makes the sacrifice meaningful.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we're talking about the fact that during Yom HaZikaron, we obviously mention those who lost their lives, but there's so many among us that maybe are physically with us, but emotionally, you know, they're hurt. And I think that we can't talk this year about Israel and about, you know, Yom HaZikaron is for those who lost their lives, but also those who were injured. And I think when we talk about injuries, we have to also talk about the national trauma, the trauma that people in Israel have not only faced, but have lived and are still living in a sense. And I know that the common phrase for these things is PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. But, you know, if you would have broken your leg, nobody said you have a leg disorder. They said you have a leg injury and it would have been treated. I think the Israeli trauma, the Israeli citizens are looking not to be told that they have a syndrome or a disorder. They're saying we were injured and we also need this healing. We need the healing because when you know that there is treatment, there is also hope. And I think that on this day, Israelis are looking to say, you know, to be looked into in their eyes and say, we want to know what happened because we want to fix it and we want to ensure that it doesn't happen again. And we understand that we're injured, you know, personally and on a national level, but we do have the treatment for it. Absolutely. And we are going to fix it and we're going to heal and we're going to be better and stronger than ever.
That is where we do need to leave it. But thank you for that. Lital Shochat Cherto, expert for diplomacy, former IDF spokesperson, speaking about national grief, personal grief, and how to deal with it.